is older than you and more experienced, and yet he tries to have sex with you twice a day. Her grin widened. More like three, if you include the sexting. Luke winced.
Throw that poor guy a bone, girlfriend. If you don't want something more serious with him, then drop him.
Shay studied her red toenails intently.
Well, I don't know. Last night he got all weird and asked if we were exclusive. Then told me I could borrow his car if I needed it. It was creepy.
Both Luke and I stopped what we were doing. In what universe is any of that creepy? I asked. I needed to have a private talk with her. She did this a lot, the whole self-sabotage thing. Growing up without a dad, and a drug addict for a mom had left its marks on her heart. She didn't trust anyone in this world except my mom, Mikey, and me. That needed to change, or she would die alone. Right now, it's fine. If he cuts it off, I can walk away unscathed. She replied.
I get it,
Luke answered with a shrug. Shay's gaze keenly focused on him. Maybe I'm bi. I feel like I could trust a chick more than a dude. Luke grinned.
Can you imagine rubbing up on a girl's boobs?
Her eyes widened in shock and she shook her head. Ew. He busted out laughing.
And then you're not bi. You're just scared of getting your heart broken.
Okay, now that we've all questioned our sexuality and determined we have relationship issues, I gotta go, I announced, standing. They waved me off. I was wearing flip-flops, yoga pants, and an old t-shirt. My muscles were sore as hell, so I was hoping this was more of a cognitive training than a physical one. I made it to the gym at 7 sharp. If Carl was in there, I was going to kill Lincoln. Opening the door, I gasped in shock as Archangel Michael came into view.
Hello, Brielle,
he greeted me in his buttery voice. I had to look away for a second. His skin exuded too much light to look directly at him. The glow suddenly dimmed as he approached me.
Hi, sir. If I'd known it was you, I would have dressed a bit better.
I tugged on the hem of my oversized t-shirt. He waved in dismissal.
Propriety doesn't interest me. Come as you are.
I shifted my weight, and my muscles screamed in protest. Lincoln had gotten me a training with the most powerful warrior on the planet. I was going to die. I'm still sore from my other trainings, but I'll do my best, I hedged, kicking off my sandals and moving into a fighting position. I pulled Sarah from my thigh holster and held her out before me. Michael's eyes glittered as a smile danced at his lips. He was insanely handsome and said to have taken a human wife, but that was just a rumor. I'd yet to see her.
No, no. This isn't that kind of training. I'm here to teach you about her.
He pointed to the dagger in my hands.
Finally, it's about me, Sarah sang.
I smirked at her comment.
You two speak mentally, don't you? He inquired.
I nervously chewed on my lip. I hadn't really told Shay, Lincoln, or anyone about my conversations with my knife. It sounded too weird out loud, so I just kept it to myself. I nodded in acknowledgement. Michael smiled again.
The Seraph Blade is an extremely rare weapon. I've never seen one on Earth. Nor do I know how it could have gotten here.
I shifted my weight again, unsure what to say.
It's a rare weapon, even in the Kingdom of Light. I've seen merely a few in all of my existence. The Seraphim protect the Creator's throne with it.
Whoa. Suddenly, fear spiked through me. Was he going to ask for it back? Maybe it accidentally found its way into the school cabinet, and he didn't think I should have it.
I dare him to try, Sarah said boldly.
She had way too much self-confidence. If the Archangel Michael wanted my weapon, he was getting my weapon, and that was that. She picked me, and I'd like to keep her. I tried and failed to sound bold and confident. Michael frowned.
Of course. I'd never dream of splitting you up. You're soulbound. She'll help you through your life's purpose here on Earth. Only death can truly part you.
Sarah and I sighed in relief at the same time. I wasn't sure that being soulbound to a weapon was a good thing, but it was what it was. I couldn't imagine life without her at that point, as weird as that sounded.
I'm here to teach you a fourth-year technique called weapon retrieval, he continued.
Weapon retrieval? I asked, not sure what he meant. He nodded and began to circle me.
In the event that you and Sarah are separated, I can teach you to call her back to you from up to 100 feet away.
My jaw dropped. Like Thor's hammer? He frowned.
Who?
I waved it off as excitement bubbled inside of me. Never mind.
So how does it work?
Michael stopped and looked at me. Looked through me, it seemed.
The Seraph Blade is a soul weapon. I can see your light and hers, intertwined in a way that's similar to soulmates.
My eyes grew wide. Soulmates are real? Michael laughed.
Of course they are. Humans love the concept of soulmates, but in reality, soulmate relationships are the hardest of your life. They challenge you and force you to grow much more than any other relationship.
I was having a freaking conversation with an honest-to-God archangel. Tell me all the things. I wasn't a religious person, but I was curious about something. And now seemed as good a time as any to ask. So, do Christians have it right? I mean, I wasn't sure how to delicately word my question so as not to offend him. Michael laughed.
No one religion has it all right. The Creator doesn't care which path you take to find him. And all paths lead to him.
That kind of made my brain turn into a pretzel. I still wasn't sure where I stood on religion, but it sounded a little more tolerable after that. I was about to ask him if dogs went to heaven when he reached out to me.
May I have her?
He asked kindly. With a little apprehension, I handed her over. The second she touched his palm, his face took on a look of surprise.
Magnificent. I can actually sense your energy within her.
Cool. Michael studied the blade a moment longer, then set it on the ground.
Now, as a slow start, we'll have you call her to you from the ground, close by.
I raised one eyebrow and he grinned.
Just close your eyes, open your energy, and call to her.
Do you know what he's talking about? I asked Sarah. I usually let her handle things like this.
Not really, but I can sense you, and I can sense you're not touching me, so I guess I could manipulate the energies around me to gravitate toward yours, if I tried.
That was all way over my head. Okay, try that, I replied. I kept my palm open and took a deep breath in and out, praying she wouldn't cut my hand. Then the cold steel slapped into my palm and my eyes snapped open. Holy shit, I said, then realized I was in a room with an archangel. Sorry, I winced.
They're just words.
He smiled. Truth. That was easier than I thought, I exclaimed, bouncing Sarah in my palm. He smirked.
Because she did all the work.
He scooped her up from my hand before walking all the way across the room.
He smells good,
Sarah told me. My face scrunched up.
What?
You don't have a nose. That's ridiculous.
And yet I smell him, and he smells so good.
Okay. I'm not even going to go there. When Michael reached the very farthest corner of the room, he set her down and stepped back.
Now, call her to you.
He was wearing a wicked grin. What kind of angel takes pleasure in someone's failure? Ugh, he's been spending too much time with Lincoln. I widened my stance, held out both hands, palms up, and took a deep breath.
All right, Sarah, show him what we've got. Come to me, I beckoned.
I kind of felt like I was calling a dog, but it was best not to tell her that. She was silent a minute, and I began to grow worried.
I got nothing. Sorry, she confessed. I sense your general direction, but I can't move myself to you from this far away.
That ruined the really cool vision I had of her flying to me from across the room. I'd take her in my hand, raise her to the ceiling, and she'd send out a burst of light to top the whole thing off. She can't do it, I told Michael. He nodded.
But you can.
Oh, Lord. This is going to be a long night. Michael looked at me compassionately.
I was told that you're not the greatest at studies of light. Is that correct?
I chuckled. That's putting it nicely. He walked toward me.
Everything is energy, light. If you can feel that, you can do anything. When you learn to feel Sarah's energy and use your inner light to call to her, very little can keep her from you.
I chewed my bottom lip, pretty sure Michael knew about my problem. The fact that I had Lucifer magic in my blood, and most likely his wings. What if I don't have any light? Now it was the Archangel's turn to chuckle.
Nonsense. I can see your light, and it's the brightest I've ever seen in a human.
His words shocked me. I wasn't technically a human, but I knew what he meant. How can that be? I have black wings, and dark magic shoots from my mouth and strangles people. He didn't seem surprised at the truth bomb. He just shrugged.
You're like a bug zapper.
I frowned.
Huh?
Michael placed a hand on each of my shoulders.
Those of us with greater inner light attract the most darkness. Don't ever forget that.
I wouldn't. It was the first time since I'd learned that I was essentially Lucifer's spawn that I'd been given hope. Maybe I wasn't evil, destined to be evil, or whatever I was afraid of. Maybe I was the brightest light Archangel Michael had ever seen in a human. Yeah, I'll go with that.
Chapter 21. It took me 3 days to learn to call Sarah from across the room. Michael had taught me as much as he could that night, and then, only by sheer exhausting practice, had I been able to do it 3 days later. I wasn't sure if I'd be able to do it in a life-or-death situation, or in a room crowded with demons, but I'd keep practicing nevertheless, as it was a good skill to have. Now it was the day of the gauntlet, and I'd already thrown up twice. I'd always carried my nerves in my stomach, but once I'd puked, I was pretty unshakable. I left the bathroom for the third time and joined Luke, Chloe, and Shay in our dorm room. Shay made a face. "You okay?" She knew what was going on. "I'm good now. Got it all out," I told her. We'd all been delivered letters at 6 that morning. Choose your team of 4 to go through the gauntlet. Choose wisely. If one of you fails, you all fail. It was 3 o'clock and classes were suspended for the day. Chloe had her long, thick black gloves on, and her hood covered up her bright red hair. We'd pulled close the light-blocking curtains in our room so she could enter, and now she was pacing the floor. "We've got this. We knew it was going to be a team thing, and we've all been practicing accordingly," she assured us. Luke looked terrified. "If one of us fails, we all fail," he quoted ominously. "I can't go back to living with my parents. I can't."
I held my hands out in a placating gesture. "No one's failing. Trust me, Shay and I are homeless if we don't pass. We're banned from Demon City, and we have no money. So a lot's riding on this for all of us." Chloe stopped pacing.
"If we fail, I'm sure my dad will give us jobs at the club. We can all share an apartment or something."
A little bit of relief ebbed into me, and I saw the others' expressions settle a little.
"Yeah, good plan," Shay offered.
"We're not failing," I told my team. "Luke, you're strong and powerful. Chloe, you're strong and fast. Shay is a badass who can open and close portals to hell. And I can freaking fly. We are not failing," I shouted. Everyone stopped and looked at me. Chloe grinned. "And that's why you're team leader." We'd never officially talked about having a leader, or who it should be in the event that we were teamed up. I chewed on my lip nervously at the idea of being in charge of our fates at the academy.
"Definitely," Shay echoed, and Luke nodded.
A knock came at the door, and we all froze. The gauntlet wasn't for 4 more hours. We were to meet in the parking lot and get loaded onto buses to go to God knows where. Luke started for the door, but I jumped up to intercept him. My intuition was screaming, though I couldn't pinpoint why. "Hang on," I urged, then stepped in front of him and leaned against the door. "Who is it?"
"Delivery. Cloud9 Donuts,"
a young female voice answered. I grinned, chastising myself for being paranoid, and pulled open the door to a young woman wearing a Cloud9 Donuts hat with a box and card. Luke snatched the box out of her hands, and I took the card.
"It's all paid for," she told me,
then turned and left. I ripped open the card.
"Good luck today, babe. You got this. Love, Lincoln."
"Babe? Love?" Lincoln didn't talk like that. We hadn't said "I love you" yet, and he didn't call me babe. He'd said something like,
"Woman, remember your training or I'll kill you. You have to pass. L."
"Stop!" I shouted, as Luke licked his fingers, having finished one off already. The girls had the donuts poised at their mouths.
"I think it's a trap," I told them,
and Chloe and Jay dropped their donuts. Luke looked positively green before he hunched over and started to moan.
"What's wrong?"
I ran to him.
"My stomach!" he cried out,
before bolting for the bathroom. Just then I heard giggling at the door. A very, very familiar and annoying laugh. Tiffany.
"I'm going to kill her," I shouted,
going for the door. Shay reached out and stopped me.
"Let's not get suspended right before the gauntlet. We need to let it go. I'll work on a counterspell to the 6 spell Luke took." "Let. It. Go."
That was real rich coming from Shay. She was always down for a fight.
"She's right," Chloe added.
We can't do anything to compromise passing this test. Only 65% of Fallen Academy students pass their first year. I hated logic and reason. I'd already had the fight with Tiffany 5 times in my head, and it was going to be good. Let's focus on getting Luke feeling better, Chloe urged me. Breathe in. Breathe out. I could blind her. Just go out into the hall and hold up the knife, Sarah egged me on. I was pretty sure that, for an angel weapon, she had no angelic conscience. Let's let it go, for now, I told my partner in crime. How do we help Luke? I asked Shay, deciding to take the high road. She walked to the bathroom door. Luke, I need to know more about what's happening so I can make a counterspell. His muffled voice came back through the door.
Imagine explosive diarrhea, and then multiply that by 10.
Shay winced. Okay, got it. Hang tight. She paced the room, mumbling to herself, pulling out books and checking jars of dried herbs. The healing clinic was freaking closed today, of course, the entire staff having moved to the gauntlet site. Most of the teachers were off campus, too. If Luke was going to get help, it was going to be from us. Okay, Chloe and Bree, you need to go to Mr. Claymore's office and ask him for 1 ounce of dried carob, 2 ounces of agrimony, and 3 ounces of barberry. If he's not there, break in and get them. My eyes widened. Don't you have a key? You're his assistant. She shook her head. He took it away after I read that book and opened the portal. Damn. What will all of those herbs do? Chloe asked, nervously eyeing the bathroom. Shay rolled up her sleeves. I'm going to constipate the shit out of him. No pun intended.
I'm dying!
Luke screamed from the bathroom. I'm going to fix it! Shay yelled back. Go! She shooed us. 1 carrot, 2 alimony, 3 burr. We got this, Chloe said confidently. Shay's eyes bugged out. Oh my god, no. Let me write it down, or you'll kill him. She scribbled it on a piece of paper, and then we left the room. I told myself that if Tiffany was in the hallway, it was meant to be, and I should give her a beatdown. Consequences be damned. But she wasn't. Damn. I turned left to go out into the common room when Chloe grabbed my arm. It's still light out, so I can't go outside. This way. She pulled me toward the back of the hall, somewhere I'd never been. I'd forgotten about the sun allergy and what it must have been like to live in constant fear of going outside during the day. If the sun hits you, I started. A few seconds will give me hives, but more than 10 minutes, and I'll die of anaphylaxis, she explained casually, like it was no big deal. Oh, God. I muttered, horrified. I hadn't known it was that bad. She shrugged. It is what it is. I get strength and speed. And you should see me jump off a 20-foot roof. Barely hurts. I gave her a sly smile. You have a way of looking on the bright side. We'd reached a tall black lacquered door with a big moon symbol on it when she looked back at me. My whole family are nightbloods, so it doesn't faze me. Pulling out a key from around her neck, she unlocked the door. It creaked open, a damp smell hitting me almost immediately. Is it true the tunnels are underground? I asked, suddenly claustrophobic. Chloe nodded and grabbed my arm. Come on, Luke needs us, and the gauntlet is in 3 hours. Right, for Luke. I stepped into the hallway and closed the door behind us, sealing out all light. Can you see in this? I asked her, reaching out before me. It was literally pitch black. Not even a glow from underneath the door. Yeah, can't you? Her voice came back to me from somewhere up ahead. No, I was starting to feel a panic attack coming on. She grabbed my hand. 10 steps down, she explained. I counted them slowly as I walked. Holy crap, it's so freaking dark. When we reached the bottom, she informed me that we were now underground, and then dragged me through the twisting tunnels. Hi, Maylee, Chloe greeted. And my eyes widened. There's someone here? I asked. It only occurred to me then that I could use my phone's flashlight. I pulled it out of my pocket and turned it on. A brunette swam into view and smiled at me. Celestial, Chloe told her by way of explanation. She smiled. Welcome to the tunnels. Thanks, I muttered, relieved that I could now see the walls and shapes before me. The walls were made of a burnt red brick, and there were no lights. Which I thought odd since light bulbs didn't burn nightbloods. I guessed it kept their night vision sharp or something along those lines. We made a few more turns and then climbed a flight of stairs until we reached a door that read, Majory Wing.
This should spit us out right into the hallway that holds Mr. Claymore's office, Chloe stated.
I nodded, clutching my phone and the list of herbs. She pulled out her key again and unlocked the door, swinging it open a few inches, but we stopped when we heard a familiar voice.
But sir, last year a student died in the gauntlet, Lincoln argued.
My whole body froze, and Chloe squeezed my hand.
Yes, a horrific outcome. Yet, we tell the students of the danger and give them the option not to participate,
Raphael retorted.
But sir, if you could just exclude Brielle, I'm afraid the demons are out for her. The gauntlet could be especially dangerous for her,
Lincoln pleaded. I angled myself so I could see them. They'd stopped in the hallway, where they were alone, except for us. Raphael put a hand on Lincoln's shoulder.
Son, you already asked, and my answer is no. I know it's hard for you to accept, but you can't save Brielle from her fate. The Fallen Army is the only thing keeping the demons from taking over Angel City. We need new recruits. We need the upper hand, or the world will fall into darkness. Lucifer creates 100 new demons a day, unleashing them onto Earth, and they already outnumber us greatly.
Raphael sounded on the verge of tears. He hated his own words. I could sense that.
I know that.
Lincoln sounded dejected.
But can't you just pass her into second year?
Anger flared into me that he thought I couldn't pass the gauntlet. Raphael shook his head.
She's the greatest weapon we have in this war. We must train her like everyone else, or we'll only be handicapping her.
Lincoln looked resigned.
Yes, sir,
he answered in a clipped tone, then turned on his heel.
Lincoln,
Raphael called out after him. The tall celestial turned back, and my heart broke at the anguish in his face. He was only trying to protect me.
Brielle is a lot stronger than you think. Stronger than most of us,
Raphael confessed, and his gaze swept over the door where we stood. Chloe and I sucked in a breath and stepped backward, but then came the sound of retreating footsteps, and they were gone. Chloe grasped my hand.
You okay?
I stared at the ground, emotions ping-ponging through my body.
I don't know.
What the hell had I just overheard? Did Raphael know we were standing there? It felt like he had. The thought of Lucifer creating 100 new demons a day made me sick. Growing up in Demon City, they didn't mess around with us much, but I knew they were constantly attacking Angel City and other pockets of civilians.
My dad says Lucifer won't stop until we're all demon-bound slaves,
Chloe whispered. Like I had been. Like my mom was.
That's not going to happen,
I told her through gritted teeth. For the first time since I'd heard the prophecy, I hoped it was real. I would love nothing more than to kill that abomination, assuming it was possible.
Come on, Luke's counting on us, I murmured.
When we got to Mr. Claymore's office, it was locked. Of course. But with two strong shoulders into the door, Chloe knocked it right off its hinges. We made quick work of grabbing the herbs and left a note explaining it was an emergency and we'd pay for the door. When we finally made it back to the room, Shay was wincing in front of the door as Luke shouted obscenities.
I'll kill her! I'm going to rip all of her hair out and then strangle her with it, he screamed.
If Tiffany survived the gauntlet, she definitely had a beatdown coming. That was for sure. We're here, I called out to him, hoping it was going to work and he'd be okay in time for the gauntlet. We'd already chosen him as our teammate, and I wasn't going to let him fail. Shay spun from the door and inspected our herbs.
Good job.
Chloe and I both sighed in relief that we'd grabbed the right ones. My best friend went to work grinding the herbs into a stone bowl and waving crystal wands over them. Then a bright purple light shot from her hands, and a puff of smoke rose up from the bowl. I peered over her shoulder after it cleared and saw a purple lozenge inside it.
Whoa.
Being a mage was pretty badass.
He's not going to poop for a week, but this is the only thing I could think of, she explained to us.
I nodded. Just do it. We'll figure the rest out later. Maybe we can give him prune juice tomorrow. Shay went to the door and slid the lozenge underneath.
Eat this. It should stop the spell.
Thank God,
his muffled voice replied. Then we waited. After a few minutes, I heard the sink running, and then the door opened. Luke was sweating, looking pale, and like he'd lost 5 pounds.
I need food, and once I've regained my strength, I'm going to find Tiffany.
His voice was shaky and weak. It's awful, I know, but we just overheard Raphael and Lincoln talking, and the gauntlet sounds really dangerous. Someone died last year. Let's focus on getting you better, and then we can worry about Tiffany after we pass, I assured him. He crossed his arms, jaw clenched, seemingly seething with rage.
Fine,
he said after a beat. Shay met my eyes, a question in hers, but I didn't elaborate. The gauntlet sounded like it was preparing us to be in the Fallen Army, and it seemed entirely real, not like a drill. I appreciated Lincoln's attempt to keep me safe, but like Raphael said, I couldn't be coddled. It would do me no favors in the long run. It was time to face the gauntlet. Chapter 22. After Luke ate a rack of ribs and half a dozen dinner rolls, he was looking much better. He said his tummy would cramp every so often, but then it passed, which was a good sign. Now we were waiting out in the parking lot in a huge white silk tent. There was a small stage, and on it was Archangel Michael. Around the perimeter were over 100 Fallen Army guards, Lincoln being one of them. He looked so handsome in his black uniform, the winged insignia showcasing his celestial heritage, with 4 stars to mark his rank, was proudly displayed on his chest. There were about 150 of us in the entire first-year class, all standing around in our specially assigned Fallen Army suits, loaded with weapons. Unsure about what the hell this gauntlet thing was, Michael stepped up to the edge of the stage and held his arms wide.
Thank you all for coming to the end-of-year graduation test, which has earned the name The Gauntlet.
He spoke without a microphone, yet his voice boomed to all corners of the tent. We quieted our conversations and stood with rapt attention.
What we haven't told you yet is that the gauntlet is actually an admissions test into the Fallen Army, he declared.
People started to murmur and cast glances at the soldiers around the room. Michael waited until everyone quieted before he spoke again.
Over a decade ago, when we first started Fallen Academy, our aim was to teach you to use your powers and then send you out into the world. But that changed as the demons took over more and more territory. Now, we're in a fight for survival. And the truth is, the school was always built as a military academy.
That earned more murmurs. I didn't know why the news felt shocking, but it did.
Graduates were offered jobs in our army, fighting demons, defending humanity, he continued. But we can no longer wait 4 years for you to graduate and join us. So, 7 years ago, I came up with the idea for the Gauntlet, a real-life military test where, if you pass, you will be given a job as an entry-level enlisted soldier in the Fallen Army.
Whoa, we're joining the army? Today? At 19 years old? He put his hands up.
But of course, this is voluntary. If you don't want to join the Fallen Army and help curb the overabundance of demons, then you're free to leave right now. You will be unable to attend second year at the academy, as we don't have the resources to train civilians anymore. But you will be given temporary housing and a job placement coordinator. Hopefully, this will make it a smooth transition for you, as you will get out into the world with your new powers. We hope the 1 year of training here has served you well enough that you can manage your new life with your new skill set.
Now everyone was full on talking and looking around the room in shock. Shay turned to me.
So, going through with the gauntlet means we're joining the Fallen Army?
I swallowed hard, my eyes meeting Lincoln's. He just nodded. If he could speak to me, I knew he would say that joining the army was the safest thing to do.
I guess so, I replied.
Chloe pulled her hood back, as it was pitch black out now, and we were in the safety of the tent.
I've wanted to join the Fallen Army since I was 5. I'm totally in.
Luke nodded.
The army saved my cousin. They used to live on the border. Demons took over their farm, but the army pushed them back. I'm in too.
Shay's stern gaze connected with mine.
I'm with you. Whatever you want to do, I'll follow you.
I'd never entertained the idea of joining the Fallen Army. I'd always thought I'd be a college student and the rest would just work itself out. I could tell by Shay's face that she really wanted to join. Fallen Army soldiers were salaried. They had apartments and cars, and it was the smartest thing to do financially. It also felt morally right. Now that I'd lived the past several months in Angel City, I saw the damage the demons did, the way they terrorized the innocent.
I'm in, I told them all, and Shay grinned.
Michael cleared his throat.
If you've chosen to leave, please walk to the back of the tent, as the rest of this conversation is private. If you choose to stay, know that tonight's test will be fought with real demons.
That had more than a few people walking to the back of the tent, where Rose, the school seamstress, escorted them out. To my dismay, I saw that Tiffany had chosen to stay. After about 20 students left, Michael addressed us all again.
We're honored to have you brave students here tonight. The gauntlet will be a test of everything you've learned here at Fallen Academy. You'll each be called forward and assigned a lieutenant to explain it all in detail and watch over your test. Then you'll be asked to sign a waiver. This test will weed out the weak from the strong. Godspeed, and grace be with you.
Fear started to gnaw at my gut. Maybe I didn't want to be a selfless fallen army warrior, saving the innocent from the demons. Maybe I just wanted to be a civilian and go about my life, waiver-free.
We've so got this. We've been training, and Brielle is an amazing leader, Chloe said. She always seemed to be able to find something positive to say.
Totally, Shay agreed. And I heard everyone in the army gets a monthly stipend, even if you're finishing school. Luke chuckled.
Good to know where your motivation lies.
Shay shrugged. I'm not ashamed of my love for the green. I stayed silent, though in my head, I was mapping out the next 3 years of my life and beyond. If I didn't take the opportunity, this job interview, what would I do with my life? Who was going to hire a celestial with black wings? The demons would probably successfully kidnap me, and I'd be killed. Taking a deep breath, I called to Sarah, who was in my boot holster. You with me? I asked her. Her reply was quick and firm.
We got this, she told me with a fierceness I wished I possessed.
Time to pump up my team. Let's do this. The gauntlet is our bitch tonight. I put my hand forward with a wicked grin, and Chloe placed hers on mine. Shay and Luke were next. Worst case, we bartend at Chloe's dad's club for the rest of our lives, I continued. Luke raised his eyebrows.
Honey, worst case is we all become demon food tonight.
I blanched. Fallen Academy on three. One, two, three.
Fallen Academy!
We all shouted. Everyone stared at us like we were idiots. Screw them. I have a solid team with good camaraderie. Bring it.
Brielle Atwater and team,
Lincoln shouted from his place on the far wall. He was holding a clipboard and looking menacing with his sword on one hip and a sleek black gun on the other. We walked over to him slowly. There was one other group standing with him, and my stomach sank to see it was Tiffany's. When we reached his area, he nodded to all of us.
I'm Lieutenant Lincoln Gray, and I'll be in charge of your gauntlet training tests. It's my job to make sure no one gets hurt, but it's your job to pass the test.
Tiffany stood taller, pride blazing in her eyes as if she wasn't scared shitless inside. Maybe she wasn't. Lincoln kept stealing glances at me, but his expression remained hard.
You each have a team of four, and you'll each have to battle four lower-level demons to pass the test, he continued.
The other group's members' eyes widened, Tiffany included, and Lincoln nodded.
That's right. We're going outside Angel City into the war zone, where demons we've been capturing all week have been set up in abandoned houses and buildings. We don't tell the students ahead of time because that makes it less likely for the demons to ambush the training exercise. Once you sign your waiver, you'll be magically barred from speaking about the details of the gauntlet ever again. You won't be able to warn future students who come along, or sell secrets to Demon City. If you agree with all of this, then sign here, in blood. I'll explain the specifics once we're all on the bus.
What is it with these people and their blood? He handed waivers out to each of us. When he got to me, our hands brushed, and my eyes locked with his. His face held so much worry. I tried to tell him with my own expression that I was going to be fine, but I wasn't sure whether or not I pulled it off. My waiver had my name printed on it. As I started reading and scanned the words, possible death may result, I just pricked my finger on the tiny needle taped to the signing pad, pressed it to the paper, and shoved the form back at him. Once he had all the forms, he handed them to a squat redheaded woman who saluted him, and then he faced us again.
Get on bus number four. I'll meet you there to explain the rules, he told both groups. Bus loading this way, a large older fallen army soldier called from the back of the tent.
We started to move in that direction when Lincoln caught my arm, holding me back.
My magical gag has been lifted for a few hours. I just wanted to tell you that there are soldiers all along the perimeter of the buildings. You say the word, and they'll barge in and end the training. Don't be a hero.
I frowned. You don't think I can do it? That hurt. Bad. His face fell.
No, that's not it at all. I think that since I met you, demons have had it out for you. I think there's a very real chance that the demons in your training will know who you are and... I don't know. Maybe I'm just being paranoid. Just be safe, okay? Joining the Fallen Army is the best thing for you. But if you feel you're in grave danger in there, you pull the plug, all right?
He reached for my face, but thought better of it. We were in a room full of his colleagues, after all. By pull the plug, he meant fail. There was no way that was happening. Crossing my arms, I looked him up and down with my cockiest glare. I'm going to pass the shit out of this test. A slow grin crossed his face.
That's my girl.
He winked. Three winks. I was collecting them and committing them to memory. We walked quickly to an all-black short bus marked with the number 4. There were over 2 dozen buses from the looks of it. As I stepped on with Lincoln, I saw there were about 8 Fallen Army soldiers sitting in the back. I recognized Chloe's brother, Donnie, as one of them. I knew he was in Lincoln's brigade. They both probably requested our team. One quick glance at Luke told me he was totally freaking out to be on the same bus as him. After I took a seat next to Shay, the bus took off. This is happening. I'd never been outside Angel City or Demon City. The war zones were crazy, from what I knew. People were killed there daily, food was in short supply, and demons were constantly wreaking havoc on the innocents. Rape, murder, and God knew what else happened on the regular out there. Growing up in Demon City, we saw the somewhat civilized side of the demons. They didn't attack their own kind or in their own territory. So all of this was going to be new to me. Once Lincoln finished talking to the bus driver, he stood, staring down on all of us.
All right. Will the 2 team leaders raise your hands?
He bellowed. Nervously, I extended my arm into the air and looked to see the other team had, of course, selected Tiffany. Her light mage insignia was glittering on her uniform. Bitch. I prayed Shay could brew up a diarrhea potion that would make her ass explode. Lincoln nodded to someone in the back, and a young brunette in her early 20s stood, walking over to the blonde light mage. I recognized her from the beach, but I didn't know her name.
The leaders will be fitted with a magical device. If at any time they deem the training has become too dangerous, they can press the button, and my team will burst in and save the day. At that time, your entire team will fail the gauntlet. So only press if someone's in mortal danger.
We all shared nervous looks. I could see now that Lincoln had a matching device on his wrist. He held on to the rail at the top of the bus as it turned and headed out of the city.
Everything we do in the Fallen Army, we do as a unit. A team. If you can't work as a team, you have no place in this army.
His eyes fell on Tiffany. Ha! Take that.
There are 8 lower-level demons loose in an abandoned industrial building. 4 for each team. It'll take all the skill sets you've learned here at the Academy, and all of your teamwork, to kill them.
I glanced over and saw Tiffany blanch. She'd probably never killed a demon. None of them had. Not that I had any demon kills on my record, but I'd nearly killed Shay's boss, and we'd fought those demons in the gym, so we were more prepared than most.
Once you've killed all 4, you may exit the building and join us. We'll send anyone who's injured to the healing tent, and then we'll all celebrate, Lincoln explained.
Tiffany grinned, high-fiving her sheeple like she'd already won. The bus had reached the edge of the city already, the ominous concrete walls rising up like sentinels in the night.
A final word of warning. Passing the gauntlet is not worth a life. If at any time you feel anyone on your team is in mortal danger, you push that button. I will have no lives lost on my shift. Do you understand?
His eyes bored into each one of us, lingering on me the longest. We all nodded nervously.
The correct response is, sir, yes, sir,
Lincoln informed us smugly. Oh, hell no. I was not going to have to start taking orders from him and calling him sir, was I? Everyone else shouted, sir, yes, sir. But I mumbled it. I had major problems with authority, which probably wouldn't serve me well in the army. I'd definitely have to work on that. We were passing through what used to be Burbank, California. I tried not to gape at the sight of the blown-out houses, scorch marks up the walls, abandoned cars, and half-burned lawns. A few soldiers patrolled the street with a spotlight, but otherwise, it was deserted. Off in the distance, a massive explosion rang out, causing all of us to jump. Lincoln nodded.
Demons love blowing shit up. You'll learn that. This area of the city is pretty deserted, so it's considered somewhat safe. But 10 miles out, it's still an active war zone.
People live out here? I asked. horrified and suddenly super grateful for my cushy life at the academy. He nodded, looking out into the wasteland of burned homes.
Most couldn't afford to leave. Then Angel City erected the wall and started filling up. By the time they decided to join us, the demons had taken hold.
Oh, God. Are they trapped out here? I felt sick just thinking about it. The bus pulled into the parking lot of an abandoned industrial building, the number 4 spray-painted on the side. It rose up 4 stories high, some windows were blown out, and the roof looked ready to cave in.
This is us, an old sewing factory. A big staircase splits the building in 2. Tiffany's team will take the left, and Brielle's team will take the right. The demons were released in there about an hour ago and are magically bound from exiting any of the doors or windows, so they're going to be pretty pissed, Lincoln stated.
Great. The bus doors opened then, and Lincoln started to walk out. I stood, looking down at my team. Double-check your weapons and make sure your suits are fully zipped up. We're bound to encounter another snake root demon. They nodded, making sure their skin wasn't exposed where it didn't need to be. Tiffany rolled her eyes.
Let's go. Don't screw up,
she barked at her lackeys. Her 3 teammates jumped up and trailed after her, pushing past us as they went. When Tiffany passed Luke, I saw him visibly flinch as his hands balled into fists.
Don't worry. She's going to get her payback, I whispered to him.
He took in a deep breath and nodded. We all stood and exited the bus as the rest of the fallen army soldiers trailed after us. They started to take up a perimeter around the house, pulling out their weapons and looking up at the ominous building. I glanced up at one of the windows and saw a shadow pass across it. Lincoln threw a duffel bag at my feet and another at Tiffany's.
Headlamps, glow wands, and lanterns. The building has no power.
Awesome. Fan-freaking-tabulous. I knelt down and unzipped the bag, distributing the items to my team before I put on my headlamp, and then stuck 2 glow wands in my outer thigh pockets. I used a carabiner to hook one of the lanterns to my waist. Luke, be stout. I want to go in full power, I instructed, and he nodded. Lincoln looked at me with a slight grin.
Good call.
Thank you, sir. I raised an eyebrow. That only made him grin wider. God, he's so gorgeous. Why won't he deflower me already? Can we start now? Tiffany asked, crossing her arms over her chest. Maybe I could hurt her during the training exercise and make it look like an accident. Lincoln scowled at her.
We'll start when I say we start, he snapped.
Each and every member of my team sported a gleaming smile at his words. Tiffany's mouth popped open in shock as she stared at Lincoln, then turned her back to him. Lincoln clearly didn't want anything to do with her, and she needed to learn that real quick. Their families might have been friends, but that's where it stopped. Luke walked around the other side of the bus to strip down and shift. I noticed Donnie, Chloe's brother, break away from his place near the front door where he'd been talking to another soldier.
Good luck, sis, he said,
pulling her in for a sidearm hug. He was super good-looking, not the least bit feminine in demeanor, but Luke swore he was gay. I guess that would teach me to stereotype. She smiled.
Thanks. Did Ma make you request to watch over me?
She put one hand on her hip. He looked down at her with a wicked grin.
Of course.
She chuckled, showcasing her fangs. Well, we're going to do great. We have a solid team. Just then, Luke padded out from behind the bus. His huge brown bear with large black curled horns always made me awestruck and terrified simultaneously. Donnie's gaze swept Luke up and down.
Yes, you do, he agreed appraisingly.
Walking over to Luke, I fitted a headlamp around his horns.
All set?
Lincoln asked me. I nodded. Now or never. I was either about to become a member of the Fallen Army, a cocktail waitress at Chloe's dad's club, or dead. Lincoln barked an order at his team, who readied their weapons and stood in a rigid stance, clearly ready to break into the building and save our asses at a moment's notice. Then he walked over to the steel door and opened it. Only lurking darkness shone inside, which sent my stomach roiling. Tiffany walked up to Lincoln, sashaying her hips, and he handed her a key.
Stay on the left side. Good luck. And don't forget to use your button if needed.
She grabbed the key and rolled her eyes.
Save your recovery team for Archie. We'll be fine.
Then they started into the building. Every time she opened her mouth, my hatred of her grew deeper and deeper like a cavern. I was next. With one last settling breath, I took the key from him
his fingers caressing mine. Looking up, I met his gaze and wished I could kiss him.
Your wristband has a GPS tracker, so...
We'll be fine. See you soon. He nodded, pulling his hand back, but looking anything but convinced. Let's do this, I told my team, then walked into the dark opening. A bunch of first-year students were about to take on 4 demons. No big deal.
Chapter 23.
The moment we slipped the key into the door on the right side of the stairs, I smelled it. Sulfur and oil. Demons.
Good luck, Archie,
Tiffany's catty voice called from above me, as her team slipped in the door across the hall.
Watch your back, bitch!
Shay spat venomously, Luke growling at her side. A big-ass, scary bear growl. Tiffany's face tightened in fear for a second, but then she slammed the door shut. Whoa, okay. Got the aggression going. I like it. Now let's take it out on the 4 demons inside, I said to Shay, then pushed open the door. Luke was the first one in. He brushed past me, head down and horns ready to ram anything that got in his way. His spotlight spread out through the space, but I saw nothing but dusty, half-broken sewing desks. Chloe was in next, Shay beside her, and I brought up the rear, closing the door and locking it behind me. I didn't want any of these suckers getting out and failing us. Magically locked or not, I wasn't taking any chances. I opened the cabinet at my waist and pulled the lamp out. Clicking it on, I rolled it into the middle of the room.
There!
Chloe shouted, as movement crawled along the far right edge of the wall. The little bastard passed into the light, and I saw tiny bat-like wings for a split second.
It's a you demon!
I shouted, and then Chloe was off, like a hawk seeking prey as she cut through the room. You demons spit fire. If you got them going, they wouldn't stop until the whole place was up in flames. Their only weakness was that they were pretty much blind and super slow, going off sound. Chloe was fast enough to distract him, zipping to his right. When he heard her coming, he spit a stream of fire into the air 10 feet from where she'd been standing. He didn't even sense her as she reached up and yanked him down by one wing. With a screech, he flapped madly as she pinned him to the ground. The little bastard spit fire onto the old hardwood floors, but nothing alighted. And then Luke was there. Chloe maneuvered the U-demon so Luke could take the small bat-like creature into his mouth. And then he shook his head vigorously until we heard the snapping of the demon's neck. I knew there were 3 more in the building, so I didn't pay too much attention to the U-demon. Luke and Chloe had him. Instead, I spun in a circle and scoped out the rest of the space. The front area was pretty open, and led to a main room full of sewing desks, but the back part, past Chloe and Luke, seemed to have an office and another stairwell. Luke glanced up from his kill, and I walked over to pat his round rump. Good boy, I cooed. He reached around, headbutting my leg, and I laughed. Okay, sorry. Awesome job, you badass mother. He hated being treated like a pet, but I wasn't sure how else to talk to him in his animal form. Come on, I think this place is 4 stories high, so there's probably 1 demon on each floor, I said to everyone. I grabbed the lantern, and we walked slowly to the back of the room where the office was. Pulling Sarah from my boot, I peeked inside the office room. A quick scan told me it was empty. This is going to be easy peasy, Chloe announced as she started up the stairs. Don't get cocky, I shouted after her, running to catch up. Hang back a sec. I placed a hand on her chest and stepped in front of her. The lower-level demons were Yew, Snakeroot, Larkspur, and Castor, the latter being more dangerous than the others. Though any one of them could kill us, burn our faces off, or make our lives a living nightmare. You did a great job with the Yew demon, but let's be cautious, I urged. We'd reached the top of the steps, where there was an opening to another level. She nodded, and let me take the lead into the room. I pulled Sarah, gripping her firmly in my right hand, then stepped aside. The second I crossed the threshold, nausea rolled into me, making my mouth water as bile churned in my belly.
Lark spur,
I said between dry heaves, as the rest of my team burst into the room, flashlights shining. Larkspur demons made you physically ill while in their presence, weakening you the longer you stayed near them. 10 minutes in the room and I'd be puking my brains out, unable to do a damn thing to defend myself. I already felt the body aches setting in, like a really bad case of food poisoning or the flu.
Sarah, help,
I called, holding my dagger in front of me.
Larkspur demons were a menacing 7 feet tall, and they packed a punch. If I could illuminate the room, there was no way he could hide. Sarah's light shot out of the tip of her blade and burst like a firework at the ceiling. Oh, shit. The light had also shown him where we were. From his place near the far left window, he was now running at us. Infermi! Shay yelled, and a spark of yellow shot from her palm, slamming into the demon's gut. His legs buckled, and he started to fall forward. Luke made a distressing sound from behind me, and I took a split second to glance over my shoulder at the snake root demon riding his back. What the hell? My eyes widened. There were two of them on that floor. I felt like I was going to throw up, but I had to push all that aside and deal with this, or we were in some deep shit. Chloe, help Luke! I shouted, my mouth full of saliva. Then I advanced on the Larkspur demon, with Shay at my side. I weakened his legs, but it won't last, she said, then turned over and retched on the ground. Wasting no time, I leapt onto the demon's back as he was trying to stand and shoved Sarah between his shoulder blades, up to the hilt. The moment I sank the blade into his flesh, he roared and arched his back, using his incredible strength and speed to try and buck me off. I kept my hold on Sarah as my body was flung up and outward, in a 40-foot arc across the sewing factory. This landing is going to hurt. Wait, I have wings. At the last second, my wings shot out, and I got all of 2 flaps in before I crashed into the far wall. I hit with the entire left side of my body, minimally slowed by my wings, and sank to the ground. Doing a quick assessment for anything broken, I tried to stand. My left hip was pinching fiercely, but it didn't feel dislocated, at least. Looking back over to the fight, I saw Chloe chasing the snake root demon while Luke was panting on the ground. The Larkspur demon had his hands around Shay's throat. Shay! I roared, and burst forward from where I stood. Launching into the air, I felt pain shoot into my left hip, but as soon as I let my wings take over, I was fine. Flying across the room, I slammed into the demon's back, knocking him off Shay. Keep me in him long enough, and I can obliterate him, Sarah ordered. She was in battle mode, and so was I. I wouldn't lose any friends tonight, and I would not fail this test. The Larkspur demon hit the ground at an awkward angle, and I fell on top of him, plunging Sarah into the closest part of his body I could reach, which happened to be his groin. Take that, you bastard. Then I crawled over him, straddling his abdomen and trying to pin him down long enough to allow Sarah to work. Being that close to him was making me feel like death, my whole body breaking out in chills as nausea rolled into me like waves crashing against a shoreline. His face contorted in rage, his thick, gray, leathery skin bunching into a menacing pug-faced look. I thought I had his arms pinned, but then I realized he'd just been letting me as his left arm shot out and his fist connected with my jaw. Pain exploded in my ear and neck, a scream of surprise tearing from my mouth. I went berserk then, raining blows from both fists along his face, neck, and anywhere else I could reach. Just like Lincoln taught me, I pushed my upper body weight into each blow to make them as powerful as possible. Suddenly, the demon's body started to heat beneath me, making the backs of my thighs hot. With crazy speed, his arms shot up into my armpits, and then I was launched off him. I crashed into the ground near Shay, who was heaving on the floor on all fours. Same with Luke's bear. Only Chloe and I were left, and we were barely functioning. I shot back up into a standing position and charged him again. He was sitting up, about to pull Sarah out of his groin, and he was glowing, his skin appearing as though it contained a small fire beneath it. Beads of sweat dripped from his brow, and he was screaming in pain. He wrapped his hands around Sarah's hilt just as I leapt into the air and delivered a perfect flying kick to his forehead. His upper body snapped back as Sarah's magic flooded his system. I landed, looking down at him. Light was pouring off his skin, ebbing out of his pores like golden lava. Step back! He's gonna blow! Sarah informed me. I lunged backward, tripping over a desk just as a cracking sound filled the air. His body exploded outward, sending meat and shards of light splattering across the room. He was destroyed from his knees to his neck, just his head and feet left. That sudden violent sight finally did it for me. I hunched over and vomited onto the ground. Help! Chloe shrieked. Shit, I'd forgotten that she was dealing with the freaking snake root demon. Shay suddenly burst into a standing position, looking better now that the nauseating Larkspur demon was dead. She brandished her circular blade and made quick strides across the room to help Chloe, as I tried to regain my equilibrium.
Chloe had the little sucker pinned under her boot like last time, holding his wriggling body tight. Her black shoe looked to be bubbling. She'd been hit with his acid. Shay slid on her knees and thrust the blade across the creature's stomach. A flow of green acid instantly spewed out onto the floor, sending a stream of phosphorescent steam upward. Chloe leapt back just as the acid started to eat through the wooden floorboards. The nightblood was panting, her hair messed up, parts of it pulled from her ponytail.
I take it back. No more easy peasy.
Yeah, no shit. Everyone okay? I asked. Luke was looking better. He was standing now and had quit panting. I was pretty sure Chloe was the only one who hadn't thrown up.
I feel much better now that he's dead.
Shay pointed to the Larkspur demon's remains. My eyes fell to Chloe's boot, which was smoking. Chloe, take that off or the acid will eat through it to your foot. Trust me. I had the scar to prove it. She quickly did as I asked, and I took a deep breath, assessing the next challenge. Okay, there's one more demon left. My educated guess is that it's a caster demon. Caster demons were the most dangerous of the four. They created these little energetic bursts or waves that knocked you on your ass. Getting within 2 feet of a caster demon was damn near impossible, and their skin was thick like armor, not much able to pierce it. Chloe, you're our best bet to get close to him. Luke, if you can charge in fast and hard, then hopefully we'll have the element of surprise. Shay and I can try to take him out once you've stunned him. Chloe nodded, rolling her neck and pulled her sword from its scabbard. I can do that. Luke nodded his big bear head. I took another breath, still shaken from the violent death of the Larkspur demon. Okay, let's head up to the next level. I grabbed Sarah from her place on the floor and wiped the Larkspur demon's blood and guts off on the calf of my pant leg. Then I praised her for doing a good job with the demon. I wanted her to know I appreciated her, since she seemed to have feelings and all that. Slowly and quietly, we took the steps one by one, partly to be stealthy and partly to drag out the inevitable. I was tired, my hip hurt, and I wanted a full body massage with a 4-hour nap. But I wasn't a quitter. I reached the doorframe and the stench of brimstone hit me like a truck. It was like a smoky vinegar taste that I'd grown up smelling only around the highest level demons. Fear tightened my gut as confusion rolled into me. Maybe the smell was left over from whatever demon lived here before. There were still 2 floors left, so this one could very well be empty. Regardless, I pulled Sarah from her holster once more, not wanting to take any chances, and stepped into the space. I crouched down, rolling the lantern into the center of the room, and then glanced around, trying to see if there was a demon or not. In the far right corner of the room, I saw a hunched-over, shadowy figure. Frowning, I looked at my team and motioned for them to follow closely behind me, instead of my initial plan to charge and stun him. I tiptoed slowly and carefully over to it. With each step, I tried to make out what it was and why it was playing dead. Maybe it wasn't a caster demon. Maybe it was another U demon or Larkspur. As I got closer, I saw the shape and size of the body definitely matched a caster demon, but it was still just hunched there, playing dead. On my hand signal, Chloe zipped through the room like a bolt of lightning and pounced on him, ramming her sword into his ribcage as Luke burst past me to finish him off. The demon didn't move. He's dead, Chloe said, as Luke slowed his approach. The nightblood rolled the demon over to show his face. His eyes had turned white, and he definitely wasn't breathing. Lincoln said we had to kill 4 demons, so if this one was already dead, then there had to be another. I spun around. It's a trick. There's still one in here. A noise from the back of the room had me spinning again. There, in the middle of the room, was a purple and yellow glowing blob, a circle of colors suspended in the air, growing bigger and bigger each second. Shay, is that? Shay stumbled backward. A portal. I chewed my lip, glancing at my GPS bracelet. Is this part of the exercise? The opening was as big as a door now. Only a black and gray stone wall could be seen behind it. A wall, not from that building. Maybe it was a trick. Perhaps a light mage was going to portal in another demon from an adjacent building to mess with us. It must be, Chloe offered, moving into a fighting stance. I snapped my wings, letting them stretch out and prepare to fly, just as a figure stepped from the portal and out into the room. Everything within me revolted at the man before me. The hairs stood on my arms and legs, and I felt my knees go weak. He was 6 feet tall, with dark glossy hair,
black sinister eyes, and pale thin skin. He was handsome in a scary way, his looks screaming danger. But the thing that terrified me the most were the black angel wings on his back, identical to mine. On his forehead,